Good morning, everybody. Everybody having a good week so far? Happy Thanksgiving early. So I don't know if I get a chance to see you or talk to you on Thursday, which I probably won't see you on Thursday, unless that'd be a lot of meals I'd have to take in. It'd be like a couple bites at each house only. But happy Thanksgiving. We're going to have a Thanksgiving sermon today. On Wednesday, we normally have our little Thanksgiving service, but we have Caleb that's going to be in town, Kara's son, and he's going to be presenting a lesson for us. And so if you're able to make it, I encourage you to come out and support Caleb as he does that Wednesday service for us. So as we get into today's lesson, as New Testament Christians, we are not required to observe holidays oftentimes, as like say the Jews of old were, right? If you were to look at Romans chapter 14, verse 5 and 6, it talks about these things. But however, we have liberty in Christ, do we not? We have liberty in Christ that the book of Romans talks about in that same chapter, and we could choose to celebrate secular holidays. Remember, I said secular and not religious, because at the end of the day, Thanksgiving, Christmas, Easter, these are secular holidays. They're not religious holidays, because as Christians in the New Testament, we have no holidays that we need to keep as the Jews of old had to. So the word Thanksgiving, where do we get that word, right? It can be defined as an expression of gratitude, but not just any expression of gratitude, expression of gratitude to Almighty God for all that he has blessed us with. So we as Christian people, should we not be some of the most thankful people the world has ever seen? Because we have our Almighty God. We have our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who went to the cross to die, to take away the sins, because he loved us so much. Jesus said, because of the joy set before me, I have endured the cross. Brethren, we understand what he means by that, because we have spiritual blessings that can only be had in Christ Jesus. Amen. So what does the Bible say about Thanksgiving? Well, for a little example, we know in Romans chapter 6 and verse 17, it tells us that we can be freed from sin, and that being freed from sin should bring thanksgiving. Amen. We know that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 57, that our victory through Christ causes thanksgiving. Because of our victory, we can endure the problems of this life. We can endure the trials that we'll talk about a little bit later towards the end of the lesson in James chapter 1. Brethren, all the food is to be received with thanksgiving. We have instruction in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 4. Brethren, we have thanksgiving because of God's great work. We have thanksgiving because of God's great goodness, because of his righteousness, that he has sent his son to be the ultimate example for all mankind, as we learn about in Psalm 118. Brethren, we have relationships within the church that blossom into lifelong, deep, intimate friendships with our brothers and sisters in Christ, as we call each other brother and sister, as we learn about in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 3. There is so much to be thankful for. Thanksgiving is to accompany a life that is in Christ, amen? And it's not only to accompany a life that is in Christ, but thanksgiving should accompany our prayers. Thanksgiving should accompany the songs that we sing in praise to a holy and righteous God. You guys remember the Apostle Paul, and you remember how many times he's been in prison, either by himself or with others, and what were they doing? They would be singing songs of praise to God, giving God thanksgiving that they were found worthy to suffer on behalf of a holy and righteous God. So, brethren, that's just a little sampling of what the Bible has to say about thanksgiving. Here this morning, let's open our Bibles. I'll have it on the screen behind me, but if you'd rather follow along, it's going to be in Psalm 100. We're going to go over this entire psalm. And don't worry, it's only five verses. So Psalm 100, five verses. I think we could cover it. I think we could manage it. Psalm 100 has this to say. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us, and we are not, and not we ourselves. We are the people, the sheep of his pasture. We enter through his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise, and give thanks to his great and mighty name. We bless his name, for the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting. His faithfulness is to all generations. Brethren, I love Psalm 100 because we understand, brethren, that in Psalm 100, it instructs us to do what? To be so thankful that we're willing to shout joyfully unto the Lord. When's the last time you've been so thankful that you've shouted joyfully unto the Lord? I'm going to venture to say that maybe never have. I mean, seriously, think about it. I was at the Michigan Northwestern game yesterday, right? And throughout the whole entirety of the game, people are shouting with passion, shouting for the team that they love, shouting at every touchdown and every sack and every good play. People were not embarrassed to show their support for the University of Michigan Wolverines. And yet, I ask, when you read Psalm 100 that says, shout joyfully unto the Lord, when's the last time you've shouted joyfully unto the Lord? Is it a reasonable question? Because if you're truly excited the way that we should be excited, in the way we should feel about the Lord, you should be wanting to tell everybody about your Jesus. You should be willing to not only tell everybody about their Jesus, you should be willing to show your life, show your joy, show your love that you have for the man who died for you on a cross in Calvary. Brethren, I wanted to show you Psalm 100 this morning because it's so crucial. It tells us to be so thankful that we're willing to shout with joy. As Christians, we experience spiritual joy through the spiritual blessings that are in Christ Jesus. Brethren, it is the type of joy and peace and inner strength that cannot be obtained from anything on this earth. So remember that you're a child of God. Remember that you serve the Lord with gladness. And never forget, brethren, never forget that God's loving kindness is everlasting. His faithfulness is to all generation, for we are God's people. We are the sheep of his pasture. And then I think of the New Testament. I think about what the Apostle Paul had to say in Ephesians in chapter 2 and verse 10 and through 13. Notice what this says. For if we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared for before, so that we could walk in them. Therefore, remember that you formerly, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by the human hands, remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. But now, I love verse 13. But now, you in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off, have been brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, remember that all of us were Gentiles before our baptism. Do we have anybody with a Jewish heritage among us? I didn't think so, right? So every single one of us is who that passage was talking about. It was written 2,000 years ago to the church in Ephesus, which was more of a Gentile church, right? Because it was a pagan area. And so he was writing to them to let them know that you've now been brought close, you've been brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ. And it's through that blood, brethren, that brings victory, that brings hope. For we all once were living without hope in this world. We once all stood condemned before a holy and righteous God. Because at the end of the day, there's nothing that Lewis could do to save himself. There's no strength in Christy to be able to do anything to save herself. There's not enough good works that anybody could do on this planet to erase even one sin, let alone a lifetime of sin. And so we are in need of the saving blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. And brethren, we understand these things. So we all at one time were living without hope and were children of wrath, exactly as it says on the screen behind me. But thanks be to God that we have hope. We have been brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ. So when I ask the question, what are you thankful for? I would hope that you would understand, brethren, that you have so much to be thankful for. I think of John chapter 3 on the screen behind me, where it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish but have eternal life. I mean, you think about those words for a second, that God so loved you that he sent his son to take on sin, to become sin for you, for your salvation, to be mistreated, to be spit upon, spat upon, to be scourged, to be beaten, to be called every name in the book, to have murderous plots planned against him regularly. Brethren, he did all of this because of his great love for you. Brethren, do you truly not understand how much you have to be thankful for? I mean, how often do we consider those things on a day like Thanksgiving? I mean, we have our homes, we have our vehicles, we have our financial resources, we have our love for one another, we have our health, some better than others, but we have all these physical blessings, but how often do we really stop and consider our spiritual blessings? Brethren, God gives grace. And grace is receiving something that you don't deserve, as I tell you as a congregation often. But we are to be thankful that the creator of this universe, that the creator of all things loves us. Amen? Amen. Brethren, let the joy and the hope that is in you be known to, let it be known to all mankind. Lift up praises to God for the sacrifice that he made by giving of his only begotten son. Amen? Lift up praises to God for Jesus because he took upon himself the sin of the world. Lift up praises to God for the Holy Spirit who dwells in all baptized believers, who seals us for the day of redemption. So God, when he looks out over the vast sea of humanity, how he knows exactly who his children are. Yes, indeed, my brethren. Yes, indeed. Every day we all have something to be thankful for, no matter our current circumstances. But it's not just about Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, I want us to consider another aspect. I want us to consider what goes along with Thanksgiving. Did you know that generosity and sharing should go along with your Thanksgiving? I think about this passage that the Apostle Paul had to say to young Timothy. Paul instructs Timothy. He says, I need you to talk to the rich people. Did you know that that's you and that's me? And you say, well, I don't feel very rich some days. But we live on a planet that has over 7 billion people. And did you know that if you live in the United States, some of the poorest among us are still in the top 3% of those of the richest in the entire world? Did you know that? Brethren, think about that. When God talks about those who are rich, he's talking about you and he's talking about me. And I want you to hear what Paul says. He says, instruct those, Timothy, who are rich in this present world, not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. Instruct these individuals to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous, and to share with those who have need. I think about the Apostle Luke, I think about the writer Luke, and I think about chapter 3 and verse 10 and 11, and here in this passage in context, we have John the Baptizer who is speaking, and it says, and the crowds were questioning John the Baptizer, saying, what shall we do? And he would answer and say to each of them, the man who has two tunics is to share with the man who has none. And the man who has food is to do likewise. So you could see, brethren, that along with your thanksgiving, God has created you to be generous and to share with all that you've been blessed with. Who here does not use the Lord's blessings? Who here does not use the things of the earth to build the material blessings that they have in this life? Did you somehow make the materials needed to build your home all by yourself? Or were they already here and you used God's resources in order to build the home in which you live in? Were the seeds to the trees and to the plants and to everything else already here that you use, that are made with our vegetables and the meat that comes after its own kind? Were these things not already here? And do we not use the blessings that God blesses us with to feed our bellies, to put roofs over our head, right? To create the paper money that we spend? You see, brethren, we have so much to be thankful for, because without God in this world, we're nothing. And we have nothing. And so it's so very important to think about what we have to be thankful for. Brothers and sisters, while counting our blessings, to be thankful to God is a good thing. We must never forget that God blesses us so we can be a blessing to others. How do I know that? In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28, I added this later so it's not on the screen behind me. The Bible says that we must labor. Labor with our hands, working with our hands, doing what is good, so we will have something to share with those who have need. That's Ephesians 4:28. What about the book of Hebrews? In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 16, the scriptures tell us that we need to remember that it says, but do not forget to do good. Do not forget to share. Notice what it says. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Your generosity, your sharing of your time and your resources and your abilities is known as a sacrifice that's well-pleasing to a holy and righteous God. So, brethren, even if you don't have an extra tunic to share with those who have none, even if you don't have extra food to share with those who have none, do you have abilities? Do you have talents? Do you have time? Can you use those also to be as a sacrifice that's well-pleasing unto the Lord as you bless God's children with your resources? You see, brethren, we have so much to be thankful for, but it's not just Thanksgiving. It's to remember to share in the things we are thankful for. There's one last thing that I want us to look at, and this is a shorter sermon, and so I just want us to think about something else. I got an email from a brother in Christ named Joe Wells this week. He has a company, and the name's escaping me right now. What is it? Kyle Publishing. And Kyle Publishing, if you could sign up for his emails, and he'll send you the different deals and everything else that he has. It's all brotherhood-type publications. But he has an encouragement email that he'll send out, right? And I got this email this week, and I said, you know what? I'm adding his email to my sermon because it is good stuff, right? He says, I want you to think about something that's a little different. He says, among the traditional thoughts about Thanksgiving, I ask that you consider an alternative perspective. I want you to think about an alternative perspective, and it's consider an upside-down Thanksgiving. Well, what in the world is an upside-down Thanksgiving? He says the unique approach may introduce you to blessings that you've never even considered, adding additional layers of gratitude to what you're already thankful for. The first thing he says is be thankful for the trials that allow you to grow in this life. You guys remember James chapter 1? And in James chapter 1 in verse 2, he says, be thankful for the trials that allow you to grow in this life. Because James 1:2 says, consider it all joy, brethren, when what? When you encounter various trials. That doesn't mean that we go around and we actually physically enjoy the trials and we have a smile on our face all the time. That's not what it's talking about. The joy instead, brethren, is that we can have results from a deep understanding. The joy that we have results from a deep understanding of what God is doing in and through your life when the trials of this life are sure to come. Anybody here ever have that, seems like that black cloud that's following you around? Anybody here ever get some of those medical reports that came back and it really wasn't what you were hoping for? Anybody here have a child that's gone astray? Anybody here who's got who's struggling maybe with some work type situations, some career type problems, not sure which direction you want to go? You see, brethren, the list could be long of things that we could add to that list of different things. But he tells us that the joy that we could have results from a deep understanding of what God could do through your trials. How do I know? Because he says in the next text, in James 1 and 3, it says, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. The ESV and other, probably NIV, ESV, some of the other ones use the word steadfastness. And steadfastness is the ability to bear the weight of a burden because you know the outcome is worth it. The ability to bear the weight of a burden because you know the outcome is worth it. How many, by show of hands, are in my Wednesday class? Show of hands, Wednesday class. I did this on purpose because I want you to see how many are in the Wednesday class. So I want to encourage you to come to the Wednesday class. Because on Wednesdays, we're actually going through the book of Revelation right now. And if you're in my class on Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. here in the auditorium, brethren, then that statement makes sense to you, right? You can, the ability to bear the weight of the burden because you know the outcome is worth it. Brethren, that statement should make perfect sense because as we look at what we've been studying in Revelation, we quickly understand it's a letter of encouragement because of the prosecution, persecution is the word I'm looking for, of the what? The first century church. We see in that first century church how saints, starting with Nero in 64 AD, going for then another 249 years, were being killed, being martyred because of their faith in Christ Jesus. And he's telling them in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10 that you need to, he says the devil's going to throw some of you in prison for 10 days. And it's not 10 literal days, it's 10 periods of time. And it's complete periods of time. And that knowing that the will of God has to be done. And while the will of God is being carried out, you're going to suffer persecution. But understand, if you're faithful until the end, you'll receive the crown of life. And so when you think about James chapter 1, verse 2 and 3 there, we understand that steadfast is the ability to bear the weight of the burden, bear the weight of the persecution, because you know the outcome is worth it. You know that Jesus Christ has already attained the victory. You know that you have a crown of life that awaits you if you remain faithful unto the end. Brothers and sisters, if you're the weight of the trial makes you appreciate the victory that much more. Have you guys ever had to struggle to accomplish something, but then you come out on the other side, and then you accomplished what you set out to accomplish, even though it wasn't easy, even though there were hard days, even though there were struggles, and then you look at it with just a great appreciation, right? A smile, a contentment in your heart for a job well done. We know, brethren, that we could have that same type of feeling when you live a life of faithfulness unto God through the problems and through the storms of life, and you come out on the other end, and Jesus says, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." How great is that going to feel when you hear those words on that special day? The weight of the trial makes you appreciate the victory. But what is the end that it talks about? Well, it talks about a mature faith. This means that a faith that is not easily shaken. When you're going through the struggles of life, have you guys ever met any Christians who deal with some of the struggles, but their faith is easily shaken, and then they fall away? Have you guys met any Christians who have fallen away because their faith had been shaken, and they haven't been over to overcome? Well, brethren, we understand that as we look at this here this morning, that a mature faith is a faith that is not easily shaken, one that can withstand the challenges and the temptations of this life. And James also goes on in that same chapter, and he talks about the royal law. Actually, in the second chapter, in James chapter 2, he talks about the royal law. And that royal law is the law of love. It's the law of compassion. It's the law of treating your neighbor as yourself. Brothers and sisters, out of everything that James speaks of in his letter, he focuses on spiritual maturity. He focuses on spiritual completeness or wholeness of the individual. But he also makes it very clear in that letter. He makes it very clear that our trials only serve as a blessing to our spirit on our spiritual journey. Those trials only serve as a blessing on our spiritual journey. So this Thanksgiving, brothers and sisters, this Thanksgiving season, as you're mindful of all that God has blessed you with, please remember that some of his greatest blessings may not be pleasant in the moment. Some of God's greatest blessings may not be pleasant in the moment. However, they serve a greater purpose, that your comfort and enjoyment. They serve a greater purpose than your comforts and than your enjoyment in this life. It will be initially feel odd to be grateful for difficulties. Still, the more that we change our minds from dread, the more that we change our minds from dread and hurt to the opportunities that are presented through those dreadful moments, the more that we will see our faith grow into the fullness of God in which He desires for our faith to grow. And so I pray, brethren, for each and every one of us, that as we serve an almighty, holy, and righteous God, that your faith will continue to grow and mature to the point of complete and utter faithfulness. That you're willing to share both the spiritual and physical blessings in which you have been blessed with. Brothers and sisters, Thanksgiving's coming up. Use it as an opportunity when you're around friends and family to express the thankfulness you have in your heart because of all that God has done for you. You're going to be around, dare I say, some family members who don't believe in God or don't have a faith. Use it as an opportunity to give thanks in front of them for all that God has done. Plant the seed, if you have the opportunity, plant seeds of Scripture into their unexpecting hearts and minds and let them know. Shout for joy. Be willing to shout with joy the love that you have for your God and for your Creator and for your Savior. If you're hearing this message today and you're not a child of God, brethren, you have that opportunity. Today is the day to put on Christ if you are not a child of God. If you are here today and you have not been baptized for the remission of your sins, then you have that opportunity to have your sins washed away, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. God Himself adds you to the kingdom. If it's your desire, come forward as Lewis stands and sings the song of invitation.